Hello, it's Scott Manley here. A couple of days ago, a Chinese Long March 3B rocket was struck by lightning as it ascended into space. This was carrying a Tianlan 2 data relay satellite, which was supposed to go to geostationary orbit. And as it had climbed about 30 seconds into the flight, a lightning bolt was seen to travel through the rocket and down the trail to the ground. And this was spectacular. There are some amazing images out there, but it's not the first time that this has happened. Now, most famously, perhaps, was back in the 1960s. We had Apollo 12 as it lifted off on November 1969. It was hit not once, but twice by lightning bolts. And these electrical discharges caused power to flow through the systems. And it actually caused the fuel cell systems to go offline temporarily. And that meant that various systems in the spacecraft lost power, including the guidance system inside the command module. Now, fortunately, the guidance system in the booster itself, it remained active, but the astronauts were looking at a whole bunch of panels which weren't making sense to them. In particular, their guidance, their nav ball, as you would call it, it was going crazy. And of course, it would be a good, like a, you know, for good many number of seconds. It seemed like probable eternity to those astronauts before John Aaron called up and said, can you try SCE to AUX? And that would ultimately fix the problem. But funnily enough, we don't exactly know why that fixed the problem. There's a lot of speculation even today as to what exactly happened. But yeah, that was a very famous one. More recently, 1987, an Atlas Centaur launched and it was hit by lightning on the way up. And that wasn't so fortunate. That lightning bolt corrupted a single bit of memory, which caused a hard over in the guidance system and the booster was destroyed. And a couple of years ago, I remember seeing a Soyuz launching with a payload out of Kazakhstan and it got hit on the way up. So lightning can cause big problems to spacecraft, to rockets, because you're generating very high voltages and it's running primarily through the skin of the rocket, but that can still cause transient voltages inside various electrical systems, which are obviously vulnerable to this. And in the worst case, we can see that we lost entire boosters. So rockets actually tend to attract lightning. They vastly increase the chance of a lightning bolt happening. Sure, there are lightning bolts happening sporadically, but when you've got a rocket going up, it is going to attract them like a lightning rod. And there is a lot of commonality here, because if you think about it, a lightning rod is a long piece of metal which is designed to concentrate the electrical fields at the tip and make it the lightning more likely to hit that thing. Well, that's also true of the rocket, but it also has this big long trail behind it, which is much more likely is going to actually accentuate the problem. There are actually scientists who investigate lightning by launching rockets trailing a very thin piece of wire. And this creates essentially a very long lightning rod. And as the lightning travels down that, it will vaporize that wire and form a traditional lightning bolt. So how does lightning actually work? And why do rockets make this happen? So if you think about it, right, lightning is where you've got essentially an electrical potential between the air and the ground. And that's what we're interested in. So you've got, say, the clouds are at millions of volts and the ground is at 0 volts and there's an electrical potential that goes down there. Actually, I'm saying millions of volts. That is vastly underestimating it, because the dielectric strength of dry air is about 3 megavolts per meter. That means that, you know, to get a lightning bolt to jump across 1 meter of air, it needs 3 million volts. If you've got clouds that are a couple of kilometers up, you're talking billions of volts to do this. So normally you've got this electric field, and this is just basically potential, right? This is the energy. It wants to push electrical, you know, power over this, but the air is an insulator, so it doesn't really happen. But the air isn't perfectly neutral. What happens in the air is you'll sometimes have events that will create free electrons, excited electrons that will pop off. And as soon as this happens, say it's from a cosmic ray it comes through, right? You've suddenly got an electron floating free. Well, it's going to get attracted towards the positive terminal. Then positive ion, which is left behind, will get attracted towards the negative terminal. So you'll have a separation of charges. And as this happens, these things will hit other elements in the air, other molecules in the air. And if the electric field isn't strong enough, then what will happen is they'll sort of bounce off, the energy will be dissipated and they'll eventually recombine. But if your electrical field is powerful enough As it gets pulled apart, it accelerates and it will hit the next atom or molecule with sufficient energy that it can knock more electrons off. And then those electrons can cause further electrons to knock off. And so this forms like the very earliest, I think they call them fingers or streamers, right? This is how the lightning bolts start. So these create like a cascade of electrical charge. And as this builds up, the energy that's going into this, the energy that they are putting into the air is actually heating the air, which is making it even more likely to ionize. And eventually, these things create an entire channel all the way through the circuit. It becomes complete, and you'll get a lightning bolt following that through. And if you've seen lightning bolts, you know that sometimes these exploratory pathways can go all sorts of directions as they find slightly different versions of the air, or, you know, cosmic rays hit in one place, cosmic rays hit in another place, right? They create weird patterns. In fact, I've seen cases where a rocket was launched with a wire behind it, and the lightning started there and then went off in some completely different direction. So now, when you introduce a rocket to the equation, everything changes. What happens with a rocket? First of all, yeah, you have the solid body that will tend to concentrate the electric field. So it's essentially reducing the distance that the electricity has to travel. But that trail, that is rocket exhaust. And in a rocket, you've got this chemical propulsion system going, and a chemical reaction is essentially atoms exchanging electrons and releasing energy. So you've already got a number of, you know, exhaust products which are in a highly energized state. Some of them are still ionized. Some of them are merely very hot. Some of them are free radicals which are ionized, and they're looking for another, you know, atom to join up with. So you already have many, many more free electrons. And because you have many, many more different species of atom in there in different energy levels, the dielectric strength of the medium drops radically. Therefore, your lightning is far more likely to go down this energized trail with all its exhaust products. And that's why you will see this in multiple cases, that the rocket launches and the lightning bolt shoots down the trail. As the rocket ascends, it's making this longer and longer trail, and eventually it gets to a point where the lightning will feed down through that. And so that's one of the reasons why we have like launch commit criteria, which takes lightning into account, right? Because if lightning hits things, it can be very bad. Now, sure, on the ground, we have lightning conductors or lightning towers around the launch pad, particularly in Florida, where it's common. You'll also see Starship's tower has a big lightning tower on top of that, just in case. Starship's made of stainless steel. It probably would be fine, but you know what? Lightning going through those tiles could actually cause melting of the tiles, which might ruin their heat, their heat insulating properties. Like literally, it will melt them and form them into a solid mass, which will have higher thermal conductivity. So you don't want lightning to touch that. Also, carbon fiber rockets. Carbon fiber doesn't tend to conduct electricity nearly as well. In fact, it will tend to get, as it conducts lightning, it can get very hot and explode. So carbon fiber actually tends to explode compared to like aluminium or stainless steel. So that's why you don't want these things hit on the pad. But also, you want to make sure before you launch that there are no potential lightning clouds nearby. You don't want to even have a heavy cumulus cloud, which might be accumulating a charge, it's not powerful enough to generate actual lightning, but with the help of a rocket, it just might. So they'll be paying attention to the power of the electrostatic field between the Earth and the sky. They will be paying attention to the structure of the clouds, because the clouds might be building up potential between them, but not the ground. And that's why you would have cloud-to-cloud lightning. And of course, a rocket flying through this would be just as happy to help lend those things a hand, generating a lightning bolt. So you'll typically have like field strength limits, and you also have a rule that says, well, if you've seen a lightning bolt within a certain radius, you cannot launch until like half an hour has passed. I don't know what the exact numbers are, but you will hear this in the weather reports, the launch commit criteria for lightning or cumulus clouds. And I think that might have fed into, of course, SpaceX's Starship 13 second scrub. It's also just possible that when you have the kind of weather that makes cumulus clouds, that makes these big lightning storms, you also are typically having very powerful winds and turbulence. So that will also contribute to why you perhaps don't want to launch near a storm. So yeah, that is a story of lightning and rockets. There's some real science there. People actually do exploit this to study lightning, but generally you want to stay away from it, you know, because one of these days your luck may run out. I'm Scott Manley, fly safe.